This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, you're listening to Bible Toolbox with Steve. In my research around the book that I'm writing about the crucifixion of Christ, I found a couple of very strange things that I struggled to understand at the beginning, but the more I researched, the more I looked at it, the clearer it became once I used the scriptures. We sometimes read our scriptures so fast that we just go by the things that should have stopped us in the first place. If you turn to Luke chapter 23, we're talking about Christ being brought to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. And the first three verses, this is what it says. Then the whole group stood up and led Jesus to Pilate. They began to accuse him. They said, "We caught this man telling things which were confusing to our people. He says we should stop paying taxes to Caesar. He called himself the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Yes." Now, if you notice the trial of Christ in front of Caiaphas and in front of Annas, these charges were never mentioned. They charged him for blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God or God himself. Okay, that's what they charged him with, and that's why they wanted him executed. But when they took him to Pilate, Pilate, as a Roman, doesn't care who Jesus called himself. King, well, doesn't make any difference. He doesn't call him to blaspheme God. You think you're God or the Son of God? I'm sure there were rumors throughout the whole land about this. I'm sure there were rumors everywhere about it, okay? So when they brought him to Pilate, they had to cook up a charge that Pilate would listen to. One of the charges was, he said he's king. Now, the Romans didn't particularly care for any other king than Caesar. Caesar was in charge of the whole world at that time. His armies were everywhere. They crushed rebellions one after another. This is why the Roman economy was built on slavery. After they crushed the nations, they would take everybody and sell them on the slave market. One-third of the Roman economy was a slave market. Okay? Wow. One-third of the economy in a slave market? So they brought him to Jesus. They said, In fact, when Pilate, you read the scriptures, Pilate saw right through their ruse. He saw right through their ruse. In fact, he said many times, "I find no fault in him. He's innocent. I find no fault in him." And they kept after him all along until he caved in. That's basically what happened. He knew that they were playing. But he also was under pressure, too. Don't forget, he was the governor of Judea. And as a representative of Caesar in Rome, he had to keep the peace. This was a time of the Passover when thousands of people had gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover from all the nations around the Mediterranean. So if there's going to be trouble, that's the time they would start. He didn't want another rebellion. So to keep the peace, to keep everything quiet, better for one man to die. Better for one man to die. So when Pilate started questioning him about his status, "Are you a king?" Jesus said, "Yes, I'm a king." Then later, in another gospel, he says, "But my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight." Well, Jesus should have been condemned for treason right there and then, because if you turn to John chapter 18 and verse 10, this is what it says. Simon Peter had a sword. He struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its place. My Father has given me this cup of suffering. Shouldn't I drink it?" Wow, wait a minute, just a minute here. Jesus claimed in front of Pilate, "If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight." Well, one did. Peter was in the garden when Jesus was arrested. 600 auxiliary soldiers and temple guards and everything came to arrest Jesus in the garden with Judas. Okay? Peter, a fisherman, decided to act. hauled out his sword and cut off not even a soldier, but the servant of the high priest's ear. Now, this would be a perfect thing to bring to Pilate, right? Yes, he claims he's king. There was his servant. He drew his sword. He cut off this man's ear. Right, that's treason. That's a treasonable offense. But they didn't bring that charge. Why didn't they bring that charge? Well, if you look to Luke chapter 22 and verse 47, you'll read what happened. Luke chapter 22, verse 47. This is what the Bible says. Oh, hang on. I need a little bit more than that. I'm talking about Jesus healing Malchus's ear, okay? So, there was no proof that there was any action, any violence in the garden. Jesus not only put the man's ear back, but what happened to all the blood? I understand if you cut off somebody's ear, there's blood everywhere. There's blood everywhere. Wow. Jesus healed this man's ear. Okay, there was no evidence. The Pharisees would have been quick to try and explain this, the how a wounded man could not be prosecuted, produced, nor would his injuries be even visible. When Jesus heals, he heals completely. Wow. Only John identifies the high priest's servant as Malchus, okay? So there was some connection there. I don't know what it was, but I know it was so. Then after Christ was crucified and then rose again, Peter was on the hook again. In John chapter 21, and I'm sure you know this story, in John chapter 21, okay, in verse 15, okay, John chapter 1, verse 15, this is what he says. Jesus met some of the disciples in the Sea of Galilee as they were fishing. And after they had fished and they made breakfast, this is what happened. John 21, 15. After they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter answered him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus asked Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him again, be a shepherd to my sheep. And Jesus asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was sad because the third time Jesus asked, do you love me? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, I find the street, in other translations, probably a better translation, you'll read that the first question Jesus asks, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I know some people think that this probably refers to his profession. Do you love me more than fishing? Because after Christ died, that's what Peter said. I'm going fishing. That's what he said. He made a statement and then off he went. And Jesus found him fishing. Okay? So, was he saying, do you love me more than these? He was pointing to his profession as a fisherman. Do you love me more than this job? But the word there is plural. The word is plural, though. Do you love me more than these? And if you turn to Matthew chapter 26, we have an idea of what Christ was talking about. 26:31, this is what it says. Then Jesus said to them, plural, tonight all of you will be ashamed of me. It is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the flock of sheep will be scattered. That is found in Zechariah. However, after I rise from death, I will go ahead of you into the land of Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered him, everyone else might be ashamed of you, but I will never be ashamed of you. Jesus said to Peter, I'm telling you the truth. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will say you don't even know me 3 different times. Peter answered him, even if I must die with you, I will always be loyal to you. And all of Jesus' followers said the same thing. So when Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? I think this is what he's referring to. Peter had a big mouth. Well, no, if anybody else leaves you, I will be there for you. All these other people, they might leave you, but I will stand alone. I will be there for you, always. Don't worry about a thing. I got your back. And that when the time came, and he was standing around the fire in the courtyard of the high priest, someone said to him, "You're a Galilean. You know this man." And Peter was like, "Oh, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." Who was the person who accused him? A soldier? With a sword? No, it was a maid from the household. She says, "You're one of them." Peter denied three times. And then after he heard the rooster crowing, he went outside and he cried bitterly. So I think Jesus was referring to this. You said, "I love you more than all these. I will be with you. I will stand right there with you. Even if they kill me, I will be with you." Huh? I know sometimes people, we say things that we don't mean, or we just say things for emphasis. I think Peter was fairly serious about dying with Christ, but I don't think he had any idea of how bad Christ's death was going to be, crucifixion. And I think like all of us, we have the bravado until we're confronted. But Jesus said to him, "Listen, Simon, if you really love me, you will feed my sheep, you will tend my lambs. You'll do what I ask you to do," right? And I think I don't think that's forgiveness, but I think that's a form of acceptance. I know who you are. I know the mistakes you made, but I still love you and I still want you to follow me. And I think this is like this for all of us as well. We make mistakes. We do things we don't want, shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't have said. And yet Christ says, "Listen, I still love you. I still accept you. Follow me." Thank you so much for listening.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.